It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IdeaPark, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Is there a General Motors Ford in your future?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Here's a mind bender for you. GM and Ford under one roof. According to Automotive News, sources say executives of the crosstown rivals met in July and August to discuss merging or at least creating an alliance. The sources say any deal is very unlikely, though, and talks are no longer going on. Some of the biggest institutional investors in the world meet today to release results of a survey aimed at figuring out global warming's corporate winners and losers. The so-called Carbon Disclosure Project represents over 200 investors, including major state pension funds and the investment banks Merrill Lynch and Goldman Sachs. Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
4 years ago, when this investor campaign polled the world's 500 biggest companies, the majority ignored it. This year, 72% responded, including Walmart and Boeing. The results confirm corporate America is increasingly aware climate change will affect the economy and the bottom line. Project coordinator Paul Dickinson says some companies, like GE and Toyota, are already chasing profits from greener products.
Major companies are making moves now to capitalize upon this opportunity. It's driven by climate change, rising energy prices, and it's driven by a kind of meta-reality, which is that we have a tremendous problem with greenhouse gas emissions.
Still, less than half the companies surveyed this year are actively trying to reduce those emissions. Dickinson says U.S. businesses would be foolish not to anticipate future regulation of greenhouse gases and strategize accordingly. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
When it comes to government grants, size does matter. Congress set aside tens of millions of dollars in 9/11 recovery funds that were supposed to go to small businesses. But in distributing some 24,000 grants, the Empire State Development Corporation reportedly stretched the definition of small. The New York Daily News reports firms owned by Fortune 500 companies like Xerox and Archer Daniels Midland were able to grab millions of dollars in grant money. The British oil giant BP is launching a major safety overhaul. The move has been triggered by last year's fatal fire in the company's Texas refinery. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
BP will carry out a huge company-wide review. The project, involving a team of 90, will take up to 10 years to complete. Every single operation throughout the BP empire will be examined. The overhaul was prompted by the Texan refinery blast, which killed 15 workers, but Carola Hoyas of the Financial Times says BP's many other U.S. problems, like its Alaskan oil spill, also played a part. The company's under the spotlight as never before.
There's been political pressure in the U.S. There's been investor pressure, in particular here from investors here in the U.K. And I think BP feels that it's sitting a bit in a glass box.
BP's safety review is similar to Exxon's after its tanker spill at Valdez in Alaska in 1989. That shakeup helped turn Exxon into one of the safest and most financially successful oil groups in the world. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Wall Street heads into the new week, closing in on a record. The Dow is just 162 points shy of its all-time high. The Dow and S&P 500 both rose 1.5% last week. This is Marketplace. President Bush's nominee to head the Food and Drug Administration may be facing a big hurdle. Approval of the appointment might be blocked by members of Bush's own party. Helen Palmer has more.
This time, a couple of GOP senators plan to derail von Eschenbach until their demands are met. Louisiana's David Vitter wants prescription drug imports legalized. And South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint insists FDA pull abortion pill RU486 off the market. Observers say overt use of the FDA commissioner as a political football has escalated. The agencies had a confirmed leader for only 18 months since the Bush administration took office in 2001. Consumer advocates say the lack of consistent leadership puts Americans' health at risk. A recent survey showed half of the FDA's own scientists agree. The FDA regulates products worth a quarter of the US economy, or nearly $3 trillion. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
And this is the Marketplace Morning Report. We are produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting communities through grant-making, volunteers, employee giving, and creative partnerships. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Bob Moon. Last week, there were lots of stories remembering the events surrounding the 9/11 attacks 5 years ago, but there was one story of heroism that was mostly missed. It was on the Monday morning following those attacks that heroism could be seen in a simple return to the routine. The opening bell rang again after the longest ever suspension of trading at the New York Stock Exchange. Reporter Judy Martin returned to Wall Street to remember the event using the words of traders recorded on that emotional morning 5 years ago.
The one thing I saw and felt that made me truly believe we would just go on, the exchange would go on, things would get back to normal, was this sight of people walking in suits through inches of dust and smoke along the streets around Wall Street. Some were on crutches, others had bandages, others were in slings. People were teary-eyed, and they just kept walking.
It's upsetting. Getting all shaky now. I was here the other day and I was running, watching a building fall, and now you're back, and the building that fell should still be there.
I'm looking forward to coming back. We got to get America back on its feet, and this is one way to do it. It's the only way I can help.
There was this constant flow of people being turned away. They had come to Lower Manhattan to go back to work, and if they didn't have the right identification, they couldn't get in. No one was taking any chances that morning.
The surprising thing is that there's a massive display of force. Maybe I didn't expect this many people. You know, the army is just, it's impressive.
Many of them worked with so many of the people who worked in the Twin Towers. There were so many financial firms and brokerage houses in the Twin Towers. And many of the people coming back to Wall Street this day didn't even know if their friends and colleagues were still alive.
I feel a little uneasy, but I want to support America and the fact that we're getting on with our lives, and God bless America.
I spoke with a man dressed in normal street clothing, and he said, oh, you don't want to talk to me. I'm not a suit. I said, well, who are you? He said, well, I work on the air conditioning at the New York Stock Exchange. And I said, well, of course I want to talk to you. How tough was it? And he said, lady, it's a miracle that we came up today, but we worked really, really hard to make it happen, and it happened.
Today, America goes back to business.
It really didn't matter if a single trade took place on Wall Street, as long as that bell went off at 9:33, and sure enough, it did.
Our heroes will now open the marketplace, the green button.
Speaking with some of the people coming to the New York Stock Exchange 5 years later, they don't want to talk about what happened 5 years ago. They look to the future. There's a lot of changes going on Wall Street, and their eyes are toward the future and how those changes might impact them, I think, on a personal level, really, more than anything. They realize the New York Stock Exchange will always be this symbol and even perhaps a terrorist target, but nothing's going to stop them from doing what they need to do. Wall Street will move forward.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Good morning.
American Public Media.
Former Vice President Al Gore pushed the issue of
the world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.